Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm AJ Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by the shock jock himself, Rich Dembo.
What's up? Good morning, everybody. Bzz, bzz.
What are we doing tonight, today in the show, Rich?
We're going to hit a bunch of wacky buttons. We're going to talk about pro wrestling.
We got babes coming in the studio.
We got a lot of babes.
They're giving away a boob job on the air. Dr. Richard Sarno's coming in to give away a boob job. Bah, bah, bah.
The babes of Matt Men.
What's your gimmick?
I was a shock jock who got struck by lightning as he was behind the controls, and now I can literally shock people that with my powers. That's my finisher.
That's a horrible.
I work.
You're like Raiden?
I wear sunglasses. I have hair like Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah,
and, or like the Big Bopper.
The Big Bopper.
I'm combining the gimmicks, and then I just like zap people. It's like a kayfabe finisher, you know, like the Santino Snake.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. Do you have? You don't have the Howard Stern thing, right?
No.
Do you have like a little chubby black valet?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Except it's a dude.
It's a dude though.
And he's
in
really,
a dress,
and he's really really smart.
Perfect. You tell him, Fred. hey guys, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. We like to talk about wrestling. We like to have fun with the show. We don't take it too serious. We have a jam packed show, as they would say.
We do
on the radio.
You were going to say we don't take shit from anyone.
We don't take shit from anyone. We're going to talk about everything that happened in pro wrestling this week and a couple topics, some stuff happening that's fascinating. We're doing. If you're watching live right now, we're doing this on a Wednesday, which we have never done. And we're going to be recording two shows this week. We're doing a bonus show. So we're recording Matt Men like normal right now. And afterwards, we have a treat for everybody. The one, the only big Stevie Cool, Stevie Richards, will be joining us. And we're going to be talking to him about longevity in the business. How do you do this for 25 years and still get up in the morning and not want to curl over and die?
Practice.
You know, practice. How do you do it? So we're going to be talking to him about that. I want to talk to him about his career and just staying healthy and staying fit and just, you know. Questions like that. I want to do a little bit of a different interview because we're seeing so much happen right now with the WWE regarding injuries.
Oh yeah,
everybody's hurt. Everybody's injured. Concussions are ridiculous.
Continuously getting hurt.
Everybody's continuously getting hurt. And I want to talk to him about what's different for him, as you know, he came up in a much harder style,
right?
And you know, he's still wrestling. Mm-hmm. He still gets cleared.
And he still looks like he's in his 20s.
The guy still looks like he's in his 20s, which is ridiculous. I spoke to him on Monday, and I'm convinced that he is the Highlander. He's really 350 years old, and you just have to decapitate him to, you know, finally defeat him.
Yeah, it's terrible.
He ends up looking like Sabu once you do that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Guys, let's take a moment. If you want to follow us, we're everywhere podcasts are available. You can subscribe to us, subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere. So I know last week we picked up a lot of subscribers. A lot of people followed us on social media. I love talking to you guys. Matt Men Podcast on Twitter, Matt Men Podcast on Facebook, where everywhere podcasts are available. You can follow me at Andrew Zarin. You can follow Rich, BTC Rich. We have a lot of treats coming for you guys. We signed our contract with Pro Wrestling Tees, and we will be building a store in the coming days.
Hell yeah.
Rich and I have a meeting this afternoon at 12 o'clock. We're going to be having some brewskis. Mm-hmm. We're going to be eating some chicken. That's what we do.
Yeah,
we just
dip
the chicken in the beer.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to be talking about the store and a couple other fun things we're going to be doing for you guys, including the Patreon campaign. So in the coming weeks, we're going to have more information regarding that stuff. So let's talk wrestling, Rich.
Let's do
Monday Night Raw.
What about it?
It was uneventful.
It was uneventful. It wasn't the worst show. People have been taking a big dump on how the show's been starting with
It was an elbow drop.
A talking segment.
Yeah, it was a good a good segment, actually. We didn't get the authority in the beginning.
But I like that. This is like an interesting, from a TV production standpoint, this is kind of an interesting thing because for months they toyed with doing that voiceover. You remember that? When they would have the clips of the last episode and then they would have the voiceover be like, can Triple H overcome the blah, blah, blah. So now what they're doing for exposition.
I miss when Todd Pettengill used to do that.
Yeah. But now what they're doing for exposition is they're having your 15-minute talking segment to set up the show in the beginning instead of going right into a match. As a TV show, I personally like that because then you know the first...
You like the talking segment in the beginning.
I like the talking segment in the beginning unless it has something to do with if the babyface gets screwed over the week before and then they start the show calling somebody out from the back, you know? But the talking segment makes sense, and then you always know you're going to get a quality match right after that. It's almost like Saturday Night Live. You get the monologue, you get the first couple of good bits right after that.
See, I like when they shake it up a little bit, right? Like, I don't like the consistency of a 18-minute talking segment. Mm-hmm. I think they go a little too long. I think they should be a little shorter and go into a strong match, which they normally do. You know, the first match is always a decent match. I did like the way that they changed it up. I do like the teasing a little bit between Dean Ambrose. I don't think we're going to get just like a stupid finish at Fastlane. I think we're going to get something big that happens that builds a story for everybody. Because if you think about it this way, you know, here's the story currently, right? Mm-hmm. The Wyatts are going to interfere with Brock, right? This is my assumption. Wyatts are going to interfere, cost Brock Bray at WrestleMania. Roman wins. He pins somebody. Roman goes off to Triple H. What happens to Dean Ambrose now? Mm-hmm. Nothing. You just took him from the main event, and he put him...
Secondary main event.
Second, wherever. Who knows where you put him? I don't know. Who's he going to wrestle? He's going to wrestle whoever.
He could be anywhere on the card. That dude could open the show or close the show. You know, I think I think that's what he's kind of been hinting at with those Cole interviews, saying, like, listen, you can put me anywhere, and I'll still be good.
You know, I was watching a lot of the Shield stuff, like, 6 to 8 months into the Shield.
Yeah.
Man, these guys were, everything was perfect.
Oh, yeah, they did such a great job with them.
They did such a great job at building these guys, protecting these guys for the long haul. It wasn't even, you know, I don't remember any negativity with the Shield.
Yeah.
The only negativity I remember was the people saying, oh, wow, Seth Rollins is the weak link here.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, he was the weak link. He was the one that couldn't talk. He was the weak guy. He was the one that they were scared of.
And lo and behold.
And lo and behold, the guy ended up becoming the champion first. The guy is a star when you look at him. I thought they did that well. So I thought the segment was fine. I find it bizarre. Oh, by the way, they called it a belt 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, they did.
And they censored it on Hulu.
Which is kind of weird, because didn't McMahon himself call it a belt?
McMahon himself called it a belt, and then he censored it on Hulu. I don't know if they censored Steph calling it a belt, but I guess it's a belt again.
Yeah.
Because what do you call it? It's a belt.
Yeah.
It was in a case, which is weird.
I think they're doing that, like, they're going back and realizing kind of like what the fans want and pulling away more of the corporate stuff, you know, because like a couple of years ago, we would talk on the show about how, like, it was just this weird corporate culture, corporate language that they would kind of like inflict on us instead of like calling moves or calling the guys wrestlers or saying belt or saying strap, you know. They didn't want the familiar terms because they wanted to separate themselves from
that
other
memo.
Companies.
Yeah, you know? Saw that memo where, like, I think it's the whole superstars and diva thing is, like, you don't... I was listening to Dave. Dave Get Money Meltzer.
Yeah.
I was listening to him. And brought up an interesting point. He goes, when people say, like, what are you watching today, like on TV? Mm-hmm. What are you watching on Monday night? If I say, oh, what are you doing tonight? It's 8 o'clock on Monday. You're going to say what?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Raw.
Okay. Like, what's Raw?
It's a wrestling program.
Okay, it's a wrestling. It's not a sports entertainment show.
Yeah.
Nobody says, I'm watching sport. I'm going to the sports entertainment.
Right.
I'm going. You know, like, what are you doing this Saturday? Oh, I'm taking the kids to sports entertainment at the Garden. Nobody says it. You say, I'm going to wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrestling.
I'm going to go watch wrestling.
With your buddy Ted Turner. Yeah. when nobody says that. So they have this vernacular that is non-existent to everybody outside of that little bubble.
Right.
So they have created their own language.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is they want to separate themselves from inside terms.
Mm.
A superstar and sponsored entertainment are very inside terms.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I agree with that.
You know? So what they've actually done is remove, like, the carny talk, like strap or whatever, you know, the wrestling lingo.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say crimson mask.
Right. Well, because there is none anymore.
There is none, but you couldn't say it even when there was.
Yeah.
You can't say he broke his nose or he broke his tooth. You got to say, oh, he shoved his teeth down his mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to make it more dramatic, you know. It's theater. At the end of the day, it's theater.
So I thought Raw was... not eventful. You know, Brock was there.
It was all right.
I thought that segment was good.
The Brock stuff is good.
It's always good. Bray Wyatt was not there, and Bo Dallas were not there because
Black Jack
Mulligan is not doing well.
Yeah,
I haven't seen an update, but he's very sick, and it's to the point that their father, Mike Rotunda, also left because he's an agent. He works there. He also left. So hopefully he's doing well.
Well, they did a good job of the Social Outcast explaining his absence, saying that he's in the studio working on a new track, which was,
I thought that was good,
freaking
yeah.
great. Honestly, Bray Wyatt is one of those dudes also, much like Dean Ambrose, that could fit anywhere on the card. And the Wyatt family still looks strong without him, with Harper taking over. And I could see that being a feud, too, in the future, where who gets control of the Wyatt family.
Hey, hold on. Love you, Vince. Treehouse Vince is in the chat. Love you. He's leaving. 10:26 past the hour. What the hell just happened?
Your brother just ran down the stairs and kidnapped the dog.
Christ. I think it was Vince. He just came in and took the dog.
Give me the dog, pal.
I think, as evident by Monday, Luke Harper has no problem being the leader of the Wyatt family, and
he's
I think at some point you're going to get a Luke Harper versus Bray Wyatt.
You're going to get like a turn where he takes over the Wyatts?
For like who's in control of the Wyatts.
Yeah. You know? Braun Strowman.
That's a big dude.
Is gigantic.
Yeah.
He's a big dude, and I really, right now, Vince apparently has it in his mind that the match at WrestleMania will be Braun Strowman versus The Undertaker.
Sure.
I really hope that doesn't happen.
Why not?
It's not... Okay. Big. Possibly is, yeah, I mean, it's a Vince
big
giant,
versus big.
Big versus big, and the monster versus the phenom. You know, yeah. He's already coming up with these things in his head.
And he already did Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker.
Yeah, but now,
which was good. But I think Bray versus Brock is very solid.
Bray versus Brock.
Yeah. Even though I wouldn't mind seeing Bray versus Undertaker again, you know. But clearly, we're not getting Undertaker versus Sting.
Yeah, we're not, sadly.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing to me? I can manage everything in this house.
Mm-hmm.
I need 1 hour
mm-hmm.
where I don't have chaos happening.
Yeah.
And that is unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
It is unmanageable that things are breaking, things are crying, things are screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I just need like 1 hour.
Okay. Do you want to take an hour break?
I want to cry. I really want to cry at this point. This is every time. I can't manage it.
It's all right.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
Have a couple of beers later and you'll be fine.
It's just really frustrating to me, and it totally messes me up for the remainder of the show when this
don't
happens.
Sweat it.
Yeah, it's okay. Now I'm going to cry.
I'll take over.
It's
I'll
okay. You want to be a shock jock?
All right, guys. Let's talk about that wrestling.
I mean, do you think that match would work?
What, Undertaker versus Brock?
Yeah.
I think anything with The Undertaker would work. And plus, like, isn't that the litmus test for being a superstar? Like, once you get past The Undertaker, he's like the gateway to like the awesomeness, where like he gives you the okay. I think as an attraction, that would be kind of cool. But for WrestleMania 32, maybe not so much. I think it should be a little more like Bray and Brock is fine. Triple H and Reigns is fine.
Yeah. Right?
Whoever is going to, I feel like they're going to do like a big ladder match for the IC title again.
I can't even continue with this.
And everybody, what's the matter?
I really like, it's ridiculous.
What's happening right now?
I don't know. I can't, the dog is driving me nuts in my head.
Close the curtains. You'll be okay. We're in the bathroom.
This is actually a giant bathroom.
A big bathtub.
Yeah, I'm in the tub. Pull the curtains up. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Braun stuff. I like the Wyatts. I like that they're so powerful. And they've actually done something interesting with them, because they've made them really strong. Like, they really, as like a team, they're really strong.
It's a good unit.
Really good unit. What else happened on Raw? What else did we see?
Well, the New Day stuff, which was pretty good. It's always good, you know, and they do such a, like I said last week, they do such a great job of maintaining the heat on themselves, because they could easily turn around and just give in to the pops, you know, but like they're doing it purposefully. I think Xavier Woods has that perfect chip on his shoulder where like the stuff that comes out of his mouth is very like tongue in cheek sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, they're great, but where is that going to go at the end? You know, like where do you go with that, stable?
Man.
I mean, did you see the stuff? I mean, on Twitter, that guy's like, it's so racist. You know, that's a racist thing. I don't understand how they're thinking that the New Day is racist.
Yeah.
And the guy got torn up. I mean, on Twitter, when people are like, oh, you have no idea what you're talking about. You want to take something from nothing.
Right.
Like, say that the New Day is a racist gimmick.
I know a lot of people are sensitive. I don't think it's a racist gimmick. I think, like, I personally think, like, obviously I'm not black. But
no. No, yeah, you are.
You know?
A big bopper. Isn't he a black dude?
I wouldn't be able to, like, identify with that. But from my perspective, at the end of the day, it's three dudes who are, one, having fun,
yeah,
and friggin' main eventing major programming. You know, they're in major storylines.
Yeah.
For them to interact with like a dude like The Rock, to be tag team champs, to be able to insert themselves into any situation.
They do Freebird rules, right, with the title. I mean,
they're basically just interrupting,
yeah,
everything. Yeah, we also did have the AJ Styles.
I thought that was great.
And Miz.
The shining moment was the Miz. He shined.
Yeah.
He was good.
Don't need to see him wrestle anymore.
No. Just let him talk.
He could just be a douche, and that's fine. He can look like a post-apocalyptic bouncer at a gay bar, and then he'll be fine, you know?
Oh, you want to come in? No.
No. Denied.
Denied. I thought that was great. I thought the story was good, how he was belittling him and saying how, you know, he was a big fish in a small pond. I thought that was really good. They also did that on SmackDown. Did you see a SmackDown match?
No.
Very good match.
Yeah.
Very good match. You know, here's the thing about it. You know, SmackDown is edited also.
Yeah.
I don't know how much editing they did to that match. Number one, Mauro Ranallo calling AJ Styles freaking
amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
This guy should be calling pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. He should be on WrestleMania as a commentator.
It's going to
happen. He is, seriously, if you have not watched SmackDown in a while, you have to watch it just for Mauro, because he makes the most mundane matches feel important again.
Yeah.
And that is the difference between telling the story as a good commentator and telling a bad story as a commentator.
Right.
Lawler, rejuvenated. Heel again.
Yeah.
He's doing his hyena cackle.
Which is awesome.
And he did something. He did such a good move. He goes, Mauro, I don't care what you're saying. He's here now. You're not. And he was talking about, you know, two-time IWGP champion, other championships. And he goes, what difference does it make? I've had 20, 30, 40 championships. Mm-hmm. I had more championships than anybody else in the business. I didn't have any championships here. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter in the long run.
Yeah.
This is where you want a title. I thought that was like, you know, it was great that they acknowledged it, but they also said he has to prove himself now.
Right, yeah.
He had a great match with Curtis Axel. He went for that flip, and he was supposed to go into like a neck breaker or something.
Yeah.
I forgot the move. He botched that. Didn't work well. He's still off.
Yeah.
And listen, not off in the sense that he's having a bad match. That was probably the best match on the show. He's having great matches. He's having very good matches. He just needs to adjust to it.
Yeah.
That extra step. I mean, he doesn't look bad. It just looks very different.
Apparently, the match he had with Miz on tomorrow's episode is friggin' off the charts.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Which is great because, you know, it's the Miz. And the Miz has never had. I feel like the Miz had maybe one match where I was like, you know what? I think it was him and Wade Barrett like a couple of years ago where I was like, you know what? That was a good match. It was for like the IC belt or something, you know?
Yeah,
But, like, comparatively, too, this is such an interesting thing where, like,
The Miz is the world champion.
He was the world champion, but also, like, even a guy like The Miz, you're like, you know what? That's a big dude. That is a large person.
The Miz?
Yeah.
How tall is The Miz?
I want to say he's, like, 6'1". But, like, you know, like, AJ, not to take anything away from him, but it's almost
6'2".
Like,
The Miz is 6'2".
You know how, like, we always talk about that ECW thing where, like, you see these dudes and you're like, holy shit, these guys are so big. And then you see, like, Sabu and Taz stand next to, like, Triple H and The Rock and you're like, oh, boy.
I like that how AJ Styles is built as 5'10".
Yeah.
It's 5'8".
Do you think so?
Yeah.
But, like, that dude, like, the dude can work. I think that at the end of the day, the guy can work. I think they're consciously not giving the mic to him at this point. And that segment on Monday was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
The Miz made him look great. The Miz put himself over at the same time. He did a really good job with the Miz TV segment. I always hate the Miz TV
stuff.
Yeah,
and I watched it, right? You actually watch it. Listen, AJ Styles, you watch him come down. I said this last week. He looks important.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The theme is important. He's important. I mean, just him. The
crowd loves him.
I just hope they continue with this. I do think he's going to win that title eventually.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a guy that they're going to waste.
Right.
I'm curious to see where he goes. Like, who does he wrestle at Mania?
Dean Ambrose.
Well, him and Jericho are going to be wrestling on SmackDown.
True, yeah.
Right? They're doing a SmackDown program. I wonder if that's going to continue to Fastlane. And after Fastlane, where do you put him for Mania? I could see what they might do with him. They might put him in like a super mixed match.
Yeah.
Like another ladder match for the IC belt or something. Yeah. And he could be in that. Like, I don't know if they're going to feature him in a one-on-one
at Mania
10-15 minute match. And who would he wrestle? Seriously.
Exactly.
You have nobody.
Nobody that has built so far. Jericho's the only one. But I think and this is my call for Mania, and I know it's February, but you're going to get that IC title ladder match.
Yeah.
And three of your dudes are going to be Four of your dudes are going to be Ambrose, Kevin Owens, Jericho, and AJ. Jericho saying he's going to go for his 10th Intercontinental Championship.
Is he going for his 10th?
That's what I feel like the story is going to be. Kevin Owens saying he's getting it back, AJ saying he wants his first title, and Ambrose defending. You know, like, that's a story
That's a good story, yeah. And they're all great workers. I mean, other than Kevin Owens and Jericho, who does AJ Styles wrestle?
Kalisto.
You know, who do you put him in? Yeah, but, like, okay,
you can put him in with anybody.
I know, but, like, who would make the most sense to going forward, right?
Storyline-wise.
Jericho, obviously, that's... I think I'm putting in Jericho too because they could both work well and they could, Jericho could adapt to him.
Jericho put him over.
And Jericho could put him over. It's not hurting anybody. It's a decent story. Who do you put him up against from the, you know, the legitimate roster where you're going to say, okay, well, this is going to be the program for the next couple months?
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens makes the most sense, but Owens is going to be in a thing with Zayn.
Right. That's speculation.
And he's I mean,
he's doing the Ziggler thing now. I always think it's weird.
He's doing the Ziggler thing. Yeah, why? And Ziggler won.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's weird. Like I always feel like they try to give Ziggler, like, that little bit of meat, you know? Where they're like, all right, you know what? We're going to start building you up again a little bit. Let's see what happens.
And, yeah.
You know, but you're still, like, our best of it. Like, you're still our best mid-carder.
Is that Breeze? How about Breeze? Well, Tyler Breeze got an intro, and then he got killed.
Yeah.
I thought for a second they were giving him a push, and then the end of that.
I like Tyler Breeze, man. Dude's hysterical.
Yeah. I'm just concerned with the main event for WrestleMania.
Hi.
And so what it looks like it's going to be is Triple H with Vince in his corner and Roman with The Rock in his corner.
Right.
That's my prediction. That's what it seems like it's going to be. That's what it seems
Which
like.
Is going to be awesome.
Okay. That is specifically set up so you don't boo Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if they start booing Roman Reigns?
Right, yeah.
What do you do then? Because you just screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Triple H is not a guy that people will not boo. You know, he's a legend at this point. Yeah. You're going to cheer for him regardless. Yeah. It's going to be really strange what happens when the situation changes where they're booing Roman Reigns and cheering for Triple H in that main event.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen with The Rock there. That's your kind of your security, your insurance policy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen.
Rock turns on Roman Reigns.
The Rock turns on Roman Reigns. Yeah. That's phenomenal. You build up a program.
He's going to be the corporate champ again.
I mean, he was. I would love to see another heel run as The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, and he's so easily booed. You know, people love him, but you easily could boo The Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you need to. Mm-hmm. If he turns on Roman. Yeah, if he turns on Roman and joins the authority and says, screw you, I'm the corporate champion, whatever. It would be great.
Well, Triple H has that magic of being like, he could be like a dastardly heel. You know, that he will get people to boo him. You know, like, regardless, he will definitely get people to boo him. I think it's going to be an interesting main event. Rock in Roman's corner, that makes sense. I would say, like, Dean in Roman's corner also kind of makes sense. But here's the other weird thing where I feel like you're going to get a weird half-ass Shield reunion at Fastlane.
No.
Because even though Rollins is hurt, it doesn't mean he can't still do a run-in.
No, he can't.
Yeah. You know?
No, he can't.
Like, he just can't walk.
No, he's, like, bad.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he has a torn ACL. Like, he's in a cast and crutches.
Okay.
He's going to be there for a while. Yeah. It's just so devastating what happened to this card, because WrestleMania would have been a tremendous card if these guys were not hurt.
If everybody was healthy.
You look at Cena. So Cena and Rollins and Orton, those three guys.
Even I'll throw Cesaro in there, too.
Okay, Cesaro also. Cesaro would have been a cool
Daniel
match.
Bryan.
Daniel Bryan. Okay, so let's look at the three guys. Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and Seth Rollins.
Mm.
If these three were not hurt in today's storyline, it would be tremendous.
But think about it this way, like, you're gonna get something more interesting because now you're putting the spotlight on other guys. I think this is why you're getting the extra people getting hurt, because you're putting the spotlight on dudes who didn't have it before and they're working extra hard to get over, you know. Like, the Sheamus got a little bit hurt, Del Rio got a little banged up, you know, like, people are kind of getting, like, these, I think they want to get that, like, spot, you know, and they have to fill that void. So Mania is going to be, regardless of the booking, it's going to be very interesting this year, because you're going to get unexpected matches. Like, who would have thought of Braun Strowman and Undertaker? You know,
that was not an option.
Yeah.
you know, when we talk about what happened in the boom in wrestling, mm-hmm. the Attitude Era and the boom and
the boom.
The boom, you know, that was a perfect storm also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The reason why it did so well. I mean, everything happened the way it did. It was obviously an upward swing and people mm-hmm. getting into wrestling and it was cool again. But you had Bret Hart leave mm-hmm. and Shawn Michaels leave. So put the spotlight on Austin.
Right.
And Austin had no heels to wrestle. So they made McMahon the main heel of the company.
Exactly.
Again, perfect storm, weird situation. They mm-hmm. were forced into this.
Yep.
It wasn't, I mean, the McMahon character was happening slowly, but would anybody 10 months prior, 6 months prior, would have imagined that a year-long storyline and more, mm-hmm. 18-month storyline, would be Austin McMahon?
Right, yeah, which is friggin' bananas.
As the top, and then mm-hmm. obviously you had, like, in-betweens, but really, that was Austin's arch. It was mm-hmm. him. I mean, he feuded with The Undertaker a little bit, right?
He feuded with everybody a little
bit. Feuded with The Rock. And then, but The Rock wasn't ready at that point. Mm-hmm. And to the point that The Rock got ready, mm-hmm. and then he had, and then Triple H got ready.
Kane.
I don't think, if Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels didn't leave, mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of this stuff could have possibly happened the way that it did.
I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, and then Austin getting hurt. Austin got hurt and opened up the door for Mick and everybody else and The mm-hmm. Rock and Triple H.
Yeah.
So, it was, again, perfect storm.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as saying, like, well, if you do this and you do this and you do this, this is what's going to happen. Ratings are going to go up. No, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It's just right place, right time, right combination of guys, right amount of buzz that happens. I don't know if we would have had that if these certain things didn't happen.
It would have, you know? I think.
Maybe it could have been even bigger if we had Harden and.
But you never know. See, that's Michael's the thing. Like, there. I think now with that modern era of, like, you know, dudes like Randy Orton and John Cena have been there for so long. Where, you know what? Like, on one, the positive of them getting injured is that they get to breathe new life into their returns and their
into their returns and in on other wrestlers that are taking their place.
And they get to heal up, and then they get to come back, quote unquote, better than ever.
Fresh,
you know? Because sometimes, like, you can tell in the gap in programming on Raw where, like, you could tell that this should have been like a Cena spot, you know, or something like that. Or like, this is where Randy Orton does something. You know what I mean? He does like a little snake man.
Sorry, deal. I just got reminded that Treehouse Vince wants me to take my vitamins. Here, to DM me these vitamins.
This Percocets?
Yeah, a bunch of Percocets. Look at this.
Take like four Percocets right now.
So he.
I don't want to feel anything when I talk to Stevie.
Thanks, Vince.
Mm-hmm.
No, these are B12s.
Nice, man.
I have to remember to take them.
Yeah.
Just, I got some,
just eat mangoes.
Just eat a lot of mangoes?
Yeah.
And he also gave me this bottle of, like, weird, like, vitamins. And he told me that he would.
Pee.
No, he's like, you should take this. I'm like, you're into a man. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, it'll make your. That's what he said to me.
Well, you can eat pineapple for that.
Yeah, I can eat pineapple for that. So NXT is
actually celery.
Celery and pineapple. Yeah. No, pineapple makes it, you know. Jesus Christ. I think, you know, these injuries, and we're going to talk to Stevie after this. Stevie Richards coming up at 11 o'clock mm-hmm. for a bonus show that we're going to be recording. And we're going to talk about injuries. But it's scary how they're all hurt. And, you know, guys like John Cena mm-hmm. and Seth Rollins, when those guys get hurt, and Daniel Bryan, when those guys get hurt, that's a major, major shift
in
storyline and momentum and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And, you know, Sting even got hurt. And Sting, that screwed up the plans for Taker.
Well, all the guys you mentioned also do house shows, and they put asses in the house show seats. You know, like, people want to see John Cena at a house show.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a draw.
Do you need, I mean, okay, so that's a great question. Do you need a guy like John Cena to do three house shows a week plus two TV?
I think at this point, not really. He can do like maybe one extra house show a week.
He should do,
like,
one. I mean, seriously, he should do two TVs and one house show.
The champ should always be, like, the actual champ should always be at the A show.
At the A shows, yeah. Well, I mean, that hasn't been the case with Brock and
The Rock. Yeah, well, when that happened. Or Triple H. But still, you know, like, your roster now is a really solid roster. It has a lot of attractions. And I think they did a good job of, like, regardless of the even Steven booking that they do, they did a good job of putting the emphasis on a lot of these guys and not really killing much momentum. I think it's, like, Tyler Breeze and The Ascension, I think, are two good examples. And, like, even Neville, to a certain extent, where, like, something happened and they just almost got de-pushed, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you know, like Roman Reigns in a main event at a house show, people would want to see it.
You want to see it, yeah. And he does great at house shows.
Yeah.
We should go to a house show. I think they're going to be here in March. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the Garden. We should go to that.
Sure.
Because I haven't been to a house show since 1992.
Okay.
At the Garden, right?
You should dress like you were from 1992 when we go.
Yeah. So should we?
Fanny pack and Zubaz. What?
I'm trying to think what was it? I think I saw Flair Hogan at the Garden.
Okay. Yeah.
And I remember thinking it was so freaking awesome and people were just booing Hogan. Yeah. That's what it was. It was Flair Hogan because I was shocked because I loved Hogan.
Yeah.
This is after the Rumble. This is leading up to WrestleMania.
But you were a kid also.
I was a kid, yeah. Mm. But and it was weird. Like, the crowd was dead.
Why are they booing?
No. It was just, like, really weird. Like, I thought it was, like, the greatest idea because that was going to be that WrestleMania. And I remember, like, nobody was doing anything. It was still, like, the old Garden, like, the smoky, you know. Everybody was drunk. Everybody's drunk dad took him to see wrestling. Oh, yeah. Kids are crying. Everybody has like the wrestle buddies.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a weird experience because I had been that summer. I had been to SummerSlam at the Garden.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah.
SummerSlam is very different than an old school house show at the Garden. Let me just tell you.
We should go to SummerSlam this year.
Yeah, we should definitely do SummerSlam. 100% we should do SummerSlam. I think Ayaz wanted to do, he wants to get the box.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, cool.
Yeah, so he wants to fill it up. So I think if we fill it up, it'll be great. We could just do it that way. It'll
be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I also want to do NXT.
Let's do it.
Yeah. And then I want to do
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ring of Honor. We spoke about Ring of Honor. Let's talk about TNA, actually, for a couple minutes. Have you been watching TNA on Pop?
Hell no.
The number one pro wrestling broadcast on Pop TV? It is. Okay. I'm going to think about my words here because I don't want to insult the TNA audience. But, one, the place that they're recording it right now, they did a set of TV. I think it's in Bethlehem. Where is it? Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Bethlehem? Bethel?
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 Whatever. I don't know.
It's in Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh.
And it's not in Pittsburgh. The crowd is weird. Fine. Not their fault.
Yeah.
The wrestling is decent. I love the Matt Hardy storyline.
It's always been decent.
I love the Matt Hardy storyline. Mm. Rebby Sky is so freaking good and so believable as this like bitchy, catty, like vile person. It's a little too close, you know, to reality. She's very good at that. I love how they make Tyrus hold the baby.
Yeah.
Like he holds the baby now. That's his job. So I think that's freaking great.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy is phenomenal in this role.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the EC3 storyline. I like the Jeff Hardy stuff that's happening. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Jeff is still cleared. I like that stuff. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I like Decay, which is like their monster stable. It's Abyss and Crazy Steve and some girl from the indies.
Didn't they do
I think Bram is also in it now?
Yeah. I like Bram.
Yeah.
Did they do the new X Division champ? Yesterday or no?
I was so tired. I was in and out. Mm-hmm. Like I was watching it, but I was in and out. I think they have like a. There's no reason why someone should say, "Well, no, TNA sucks." Mm-hmm. When I watch this, it looks crappy. It doesn't fit the screen right.
It looks crappy. It feels crappy.
You know what doesn't fit the screen?
Yeah,
which is weird. Like
their aspect ratio's off.
It's HD, but I don't think so. Like it's the aspect is off. Where like there's bars on the side. Like it doesn't really fit my TV.
So they're they're just scaled wrong.
It's scaled totally wrong.
Yeah.
Which is doesn't look sharp. It doesn't really look in good quality.
I think that might be a Pop TV issue.
It may be a Pop TV issue. Yeah. Maybe a TNA issue. I think Ring of Honor their lighting is something left to be desired. But
I like that concentrates more on the. It's good. It's very stripped down.
Well, Ring of Honor will be doing. Ring of Honor will be doing a lot of upgrades in the coming year.
Pyro.
Yeah. Yeah. Pyro. Confetti.
Yep. A lot of confetti.
It was just interesting. You know, I'm watching it, and there's a lot of young guys there, and a lot of these guys are busting their butts. I just don't know what the future is for these guys. Like, I don't know what the future of TNA is.
Mm.
Matt Hardy as your champion, Jeff Hardy in a feud, EC3, and then who else? Bobby Lashley.
Sure.
Lashley is like your star.
And your return of Beer Money.
And Beer Money's back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Are these guys making money?
Well,
so can we ask Stevie about his TNA experience?
Well, he's been vocal about it. It's been horrible. They don't pay. Okay. There's no money in it.
Yeah.
I think now what they're doing is they're offering these contracts that, and they're offering a lot of money. So like I'm just gonna throw out a name. So and so is getting a $200,000 a year contract, a top guy for them. Mm-hmm. But the way that it works is they are subbing at, because they don't run house shows. So they are now booking them for indie events and taking all the money.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And that's how they're trying to offset the cost. Right. So the hope is, well, if we were going to give them $50,000, we just have to make up $150,000.
It's a little backwards.
Yeah, it's a little backwards.
How are they, like, this is the crazy thing about TNA, okay? So TNA's been around for a very long time. It's been around for over 10 years, right? It started
2002.
It started out as an offshoot.
It's been longer than WCW existed.
Yep, and they started with like the NWA title, basically, which is a very reputable world title, yeah. And then transitioned to like the TNA title. And in those first formative years, like, it was fantastic programming.
Yeah,
it was you had great matches, you had great wrestling, you had great characters, and then all of a sudden, I want to say like 5 years ago, like that's when people were just like, I don't know where this is going. I think when they went after the Foley stuff, but when they brought in Hogan and Bischoff, you know, because they were doing good stuff. They did good stuff with the Main Event Mafia, which I really with Booker T and Kurt Angle and Kevin Nash. Like all that stuff was good. Like all the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn stuff was good. And then all of a sudden it was like Hogan and Bischoff, and they just did like these weird stories that were okay. And then they did the Sons of Anarchy, the Aces and Eights stuff, which was okay. And then just like, I think that's when people were like, I don't know about this anymore. Like, what are they doing? Like, where's this going? How are they making money? They're spending a lot of money on live shows. Nobody wants to pick them up on their network. You know,
nobody's
like,
going.
They went from Spike to Destination America to Pop TV. You know, like it's just like it's on a weird decline. And it always seemed to me for the past few years that they're just hanging. Like it's like a great roster.
You know, the thing that was cool, and I think this is the problem when it comes to why TNA failed and why don't we have another
get Brian to write the book.
Brian, why TNA? Well, he's going to write it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't we have a number two? Why don't we have a close number two?
Mm-hmm. New Japan. New Japan's like as number two.
New Japan
two
is
a
number
get.
Two. Yeah, New
Japan
is
and Ring
two.
Of Honor
but,
are number twos.
But the reason why TNA failed is because the WWE style, the spectacle of it, is theirs. They have their own, like we were talking about the lingo, they are their own entity, and they do it very, very well. You can't replicate that.
No, you can't.
You know, why does Lucha Underground have a buzz?
Right.
Because it's so freaking different.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
Ring of Honor, why does Ring of Honor, still to this day, Ring of Honor's been around since 2002. Nobody says anything bad about Ring of Honor.
Because they're on a slow climb.
It's different, you know? It's different when you watch it. It doesn't feel like the WWE.
Yeah.
The finishes are different. The matches are different. It's a very different style. New Japan, which is gigantic, and they could do dome shows. They're the only ones in the world right now that could do that. But when you watch it, everything feels different about it.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
pace, the style, the wrestling. There's nothing similar about
the
WWE in that.
Yeah.
What TNA tried to do with that, you know, the Hogan and everything, they tried to do a WWE product.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked cheap. No matter how good you make it, still not the WWE. You know, we saw what happened with WCW. WCW left, and that audience left with it.
Right.
It didn't go over to WWE. These were not WWE fans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. Nobody knows. I mean, that's the biggest question in wrestling. What happened to them?
Yeah.
You know, 3-4 million people a week, gone, poof.
See, this is like another interesting thing about TNA, too, is that like they, I think, and this is going to like, I'm sure I'm going to get a little flack from this from like our Southern listeners, but like they have that like stank of WCW on them.
Yeah, from the beginning. But they were able to get rid of it, right?
A little bit. But
with the X Division stuff, those penny pay-per-views, all that stuff.
But I feel like, I think they went the route of WCW in that regard where they were like, oh, we have the cruiserweights. Oh, so now we have the X Division. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's not the attraction. It's like a mid part of the show. The other thing is that, instead of like, I'm not saying ape ECW, but if you're looking at it from a logistic point of view and from a totally different package point of view, they could have easily said, you know what? Like, these are the plans we want to do. and it's up to you guys to get there. Yeah. You know, like, be yourself. Go out there. You need a guy. You need. I feel like some guy should have stepped up without politics, like a Paul Heyman, and they wanted to get Paul Heyman, and they didn't want to do it.
Well, because Paul wanted to change everything. I mean, when you have TNA's issue for me was always Jeff Jarrett, and nothing. Yeah. I mean, nothing. The guy's a great wrestler. I mean, the guy has longevity. Yeah. He's still going. He's 40-something. Yeah. He's 50, I think, now. I mean, the guy worked his butt off. Mm. He's a seasoned veteran.
He's Hall of Fame bound, guaranteed.
But when you have Jeff Jarrett as your champion, right? That felt WCW to me. And I'm just saying, and I know it's not true because I watched the product, but I'm just saying it from a analyst point of view. It felt like WCW. When you had Sting coming in, felt WCW. You had Scott Steiner coming in. You had, I mean, in the early days, you had Hall, you had Nash, you had Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
You had all the WCW guys that went there. It felt like WCW from the beginning.
Mm.
Jeff Jarrett being involved as a promoter felt like WCW from the beginning. Vince Russo being there felt like WCW.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that helped them or it was, well, they're just resurrecting WCW again.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing smaller tapings. Yeah. They're in Florida. WCW. Why? You want to talk about done well. ECW felt very different. Anti, you know, it was anti-culture. It was very different. It was grimy. It was dirty in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Just felt different. And that's why people enjoyed it.
Mm.
You, no matter how bad the matches were in ECW, it wasn't about the matches. It was about the product.
Yeah.
The product sold it.
And the person, I think, is like, you can't fault TNA, ECW for having everybody on that roster had such a giant personality, you know, from like Pitbull 1 and 2 to like, you know, like Steve Austin showing up and like, you know, Shane Douglas, like all these dudes had crazy personality.
At the Elks Lodge, I've never seen a bigger pop for a match other than Sabu and Cronus.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Skull Von Crush.
There you go.
Okay. Skull Von Crush versus Sabu. This freaking place was shaking.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was about the product. Yeah. It was about, oh my God, it's Sabu. Oh my God, it's Taz. Didn't matter what the matches were.
Mm.
NXT kind of has that allure.
Personality.
Right? Yeah. NXT has kind of that feel where the product is number one. It's NXT. No matter how bad the show is, listen, people love NXT and people hate this when I say this. NXT, every other week, sucks. Mm. 2 out of the 4 tapings are horrible.
Yeah.
They really don't.
Those are the buffer tapings.
The buffer tapings. Their specials are great. Mm. Their in-betweens are horrible. But nobody says that. Nobody says, well, NXT sucked this week because it's NXT. How could it suck? Oh, my God, you got Bayley. She's hugging people. Yeah. You got, you know, you got Fowler. You got Joe. Like, it's the brand has a different allure to it.
Exactly.
Ring of Honor is by far phenomenal.
And, here's another thing. And this is a testament to how to make a right move. NXT, from the get-go, did not have a budget as TNA does.
Yeah.
They broadcast from a friggin' school. Who is this? NXT.
NXT.
Full Sail University.
Full Sail University, yeah.
This is how they're teaching people to do production.
Yeah.
You know, they're teaching kids television production. And if you look at the lighting setup, if you look at the camera angles, it's all very fundamental stuff.
Very fundamental stuff. But, I mean, you know it. I mean, you're in that business.
But the design is perfect. You know, it's nothing too flashy. It works very well. That is like, that's a clinic on how to do a pro wrestling TV show, you know?
I mean, here's Gabe. Gabe in our chat says, the bad NXT shows are tolerable because it's only an hour long, opposed to 3 hours long.
Mm.
Absolutely right. If you do one thing right in that 1 hour show, you're good.
Right.
You got one great segment. Okay, it was great. The Ghost, this is interesting. He goes, I was that watcher. I watched WCW and left when WCW went away. TNA brought me back. Now I'm gone again.
Well, come back to Ghost.
Come back, Ghost. I like ghosts.
Yeah.
Jessica popped it in the kitchen. You heard her pop? I like ghosts. Listen, I am a pro wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, the ugly, the great.
The in-betweens.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Huh?
The in-between.
The in-betweens. I watch everything. Except for a lot of like the indie junk. And I know that sucks to say that.
Yeah.
Like I watch some indie stuff.
The junk.
Oh my God. I watched some great indie wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mess up the names, but it was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen in my life. Asprey?
Was, okay.
Yeah.
Asprey. What was it?
Yeah. Asprey. I think it's Will Asprey. I think it's wrestler. I want to get this Am I doing this right?
Get it right, Andrew.
I got to get the name. Sorry. But he just signed with New Japan. He was on the TNA taping. Mm-hmm. Osprey. Will Osprey.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. God, I'm so sorry if I'm pronouncing. This guy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'd never seen him before. Unfortunately, I don't follow the indie stuff as closely as I should.
Yeah. So much.
Yeah, because a lot of them are just like skinny like guys that work in the plant that do this on the weekend. You know, yeah, like you it's know so what? Hard That's... to separate the good and the bad.
You got to start somewhere.
Look at. Oh, like... Zack Sabre Jr., by the way. Unbelievable.
That dude's awesome.
Oh, God, he's so good. By the way, if you want to watch, fun wrestling, before we wrap it up and then we do our next show, if you're watching live, stay tuned. We're going to have Stevie Richards on. If you want to watch really freaking fun wrestling, watch New Japan's Fantastic Mania.
Yeah.
It's the CMLL dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And the New Japan guys. And everybody's like in super costumes. Like all the Japanese guys like put in costumes. The audience is all like in lucha outfits.
Amazing.
And they're doing like weird like Spanish songs. It is so freaking fun to watch it. And they're all like mixed tags. And it's like, it was so fun. They did this for 3 days. They had 3 days. I think January 21st, 22nd, 23rd, or 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Holy crap. So awesome. Really, really awesome. Also, Nakamura's last match in New Japan is posted on New Japan World if you want to check it out. I'm telling you right now, the future Gaijin, like the bad white guy, is going to be Kenny Omega.
This guy is
so freaking good. So freaking good. Guys, subscribe, follow, check it out. We're everywhere podcasts are available. We're on YouTube also. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a big help when you do. Our Pro Wrestling Tee Shop is going up soon. Our Patreon campaign is going up soon. We're going to be doing more and more of these interviews. We will be doing, I'm trying, we're going to work out the idea today, Rich and I, over lunch. We want to do a guest spot on a bonus show. We'll do 15 minutes of, you know, other podcasters, other pro wrestling podcasts come on, hang out with us, talk wrestling, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like about the product. I think it'll be a great way to engage all of us together and kind of cross-promote all the wrestling podcasts.
And get New York guys to come in live in studio.
New York. I don't know if I want the people in my house.
All right.
I don't know. You never know what you're going to get.
Okay, that's true.
What if they're like slime people?
Have you turned your... Because you used to have everybody over at your house.
I used to. Yeah. And then I had a bad experience.
Did you?
I had a guy who refused to leave.
Who?
Like a fan came once.
Oh, yeah?
And he got weird.
Okay. Tell me about it later.
Yeah, he got weird and he wouldn't leave. And I was like, you got to leave. And he's like, what are you going to do for me?
Oh, yeah.
Leave? I'm like, yeah. No, I have no. I don't want people. People are just germ vessels.
Mm-hmm.
The germ vessel. That's a great gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
He's a German guy. German Nazi gimmick. He's called the germ vessel.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's my gimmick. All right, guys. See you all next week. Bye-bye for now.